Insights on the Middle East with author and academic Avi Yoresh.
Good afternoon. It's not good afternoon. It's probably good morning to you, Avi. How are you?
I'm well, Simon. That was quite the introduction there.
Wasn't it? I just saw you on the back of a camel. Yeah, I saw you on the camel in the middle of the desert, sort of making your way to the promised land. It's just very evocative.
Marching my way through the Sinai Peninsula as the children of Israel did, especially as we prepare for the Passover holiday.
There you go. There you go. By the way, if you know of any Passover Seder being held on the Isle of Capri, drop me a line. I'd love to know. But that's completely, by the way, Avi, I looked at your book and we've actually gone through a hell of a lot of the chapters that you've written on, and I don't think we've ever touched on the Iron Dome. And I thought, well, that's something I'd really like to touch on today, specifically in light of recent developments in Gaza. Give us the backstory. Who, where, what, and how?
So the Iron Dome is a fascinating system. First, let's talk about the big picture, that over 90% of projectiles that are fired into Israel from places like Gaza or potentially from Lebanon can be shot down with the Iron Dome. It really, up until 2012, we'd only seen that sort of things in movies like Star Wars. I remember experiencing the wonder and awe of the Iron Dome when I was there in the summer of 2014. It really is, it is an amazing system that allows families throughout Israel, and I would point out on both sides of the border, both in places like Gaza and in Israel proper, to really live a normal life. And I say that because this really does, when you're able to shoot down these projectiles, it gives the breathing room to the Israeli government to choose whether it needs to or must protect its citizens by sending in ground troops. And this has saved an untold number of lives on both sides of the border. And this really is the quintessential story of chutzpah. You have your two individuals, primarily Danny Gold and Chanoch Levin, both of whom were told that it was not possible to create a system like Star Wars that really fires into the air and shoots these projectiles out of the sky, and were able to do so in a few years' time. The U.S. government, Congress in particular, funded this project to a large degree. It's another wonderful example of the strong relationship between the United States and Israel. Israel, through its innovation prowess, and then you have here really hardcore dollars that Congress earmarked towards this project once there was a proof of concept.
Avi, just in terms of cost, I don't know, weird question, but what does it cost to fire off a missile?
So very interesting question. Those numbers are all over the board. If you read the press, they'll say that it's upwards of $50,000 per Iron Dome rocket. The cost is probably cheaper. Those numbers are inflated for the press, but let's say it's somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 to actually have a rocket that fires towards one of these projectiles, which costs only a couple hundred dollars to make. Things that are coming out of Gaza are extraordinarily cheap. And so by comparison, but now when you think about the calculus of human life, think of the number of lives that this thing has saved, one, and two, the fact that it has not ground to a halt the Israeli economy. This is a great deal at the price.
Yeah, no, that makes absolutely sense. If you think about the fact that, you know, Ben Gurion Airport was almost shut down, those projectiles present a very real and substantial threat. What I wanted to ask you was, in the latest salvo from Gaza in the last 10 days or so, there was talk about the missiles being used were not susceptible to being shot down by the Iron Dome. Do you know anything about that at all? I know you're not a military expert, but I'm just interested.
I find that difficult to believe. I mean, you now have the cheapest form of projectiles that are going through. Israel has three different systems. It has the Iron Dome, David's Sling, and a whole host of other devices that are for short, medium, and long-range protection of the state, and I find it difficult to believe at this point. Israel has an amazing record, this over 90% shoot-down capability, and so I find it difficult to believe that at this point that they will have come up with a projectile that doesn't allow Israel to shoot it down. I, you know, as we speak, I've been following the news, and certainly the text message that you got in your studio, I've been really following closely the fact that South Africa has pulled its ambassador from the state of Israel and now has lowered the relation ties down to a trade office. And I find that fascinating, all the more so given the amount of innovation that is coming out of Israel that can be in a position to help South Africa. I find this a perplexing move, putting on my other hat, I've written a book. I wrote one book on Iran and two books on money laundering, terrorism, finance, and one book on Hezbollah. The relationship between South Africa and Iran should disturb many, if not most, South Africans. Here you have a regime that is responsible for destabilizing the entire region, is funding terrorist organizations to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And the relationship between South Africa and Iran today is disturbing. If you look at the shares that it owns in its cell phone company and the mining rights that, that Iran has gotten in the country, in South Africa, though, that really is the disturbing, statistics. And when you look at a country like Israel, which is truly leveraging innovation to make the world a better place, I find this an odd decision. With that said, the relationship between Israel and South Africa over many years has been challenging, especially in light of the apartheid regime. And so I'm not absolving Israel of that responsibility. But putting that into context, Israel has had a long relationship with South Africa. And now we must really think about the next stage, the coming 10, 20, 30 years, these massive challenges that are going to hit the planet. What can we do to work together to improve lives all over the planet? How do we improve, cure the sick, help the needy, feed the hungry? And Israel really does have the goods in this regard.
Wow, Avi, you have touched on a subject that we were speaking about in the first hour of our show today. I don't think there's a South African Jew who is Zionistly orientated who has not had a very concerning day today for all the reasons that you have just spoke about. It's not a good day for us here in South Africa. We will see where this goes. But Avi, as always, thank you for talking to us. And with luck, we will be speaking to you the same time next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Simon. Wishing you all best of luck. Thanks again.